A word of warning. Some of the images you're about to see are awesome.
It's time now for the OSG.
Three whoopies and a hot damn.
Count Porter Count.
For sure. It's football time.
College.
The lateral. To the corner of the end zone. Can you believe that?
Football.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
Preview show.
It's Division I football.
ACC.
SEC.
East.
Big 10.
Big 12.
Pac 10.
Oh, my God.
Featuring expert pigskin commentary from the online sports guys.
How can you not love this place?
Let's kick off the show with your host, John Nelson.
Let her rip.
Thank you, Blakeney. And we're pretty much going into uncharted territory. Even though we've done it once, we did it for 2 hours. And we just kind of set things up
right
when it came to college football. John and Wilkie here with you. First time around, you'll hear from Action Phil in the second half hour of the show as we get to the Dirty Dozen or the D2D Dozen and the Bottom Five. And a bunch of other stuff on the back end of the show, just because I like to say back end. So, I guess, do we need to run the disclaimer again, or do we just want to go right into it?
Let's go right into it.
All right. So, lead story this week, Wilkie, is?
Our lead story is Nick Saban making his coaching
debut. You're not allowed to look at your notes.
Sorry, I had a little brain fart there. But it's Nick Saban making his coaching debut at the University of Alabama as they take on Western Carolina at beautiful Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa.
Now, seriously, with one of the more, what's the proper word to use when it comes to the Alabama faithful?
Psychotic.
Nuts? I was going to say psychotic, nuts. 92,000 at the spring game.
Right, and probably had that many for this game, too.
Yeah. So, are they completely delusional in thinking that they're going to win an SEC championship and be eligible for big BCS stuff now, or are they realistic?
I don't think they're realistic, but I think they think they can win the West. And when you look at that Alabama team, I don't see the defense has got some problems, and Saban is a defensive coach. The offense is okay, but it's not going to scare anybody. I think a fourth place finish in the West is about the best they can do. Maybe a trip to Shreveport is in their future for this year. But as I've said, the only reason why they're paying Nick Saban $4 million this year is to beat Auburn. That's all they care about, because they haven't beaten Auburn in 6 years.
And let's hear how realistic Nick Saban is as we head toward week one.
I wouldn't want to coach any place where they didn't have high expectations or they didn't expect to win. But you've probably heard me say this before, that you know it's also important to be realistic about what your expectations are. It's great to be optimistic. It's not very good to be pessimistic, but it's probably most important to be realistic. And you know, we want to take our football team and try to get our team to play to the best of their capabilities in this season and be very competitive and win as many football games as we can.
Issue two, or you want to wrap up Alabama?
Let's go to issue two.
Issue two?
Virginia Tech with their home opener against East Carolina, the first game since the tragedy that happened back in April. ESPN Game Day is going to be there. They've got several activities planned.
You had Bill Roth on the show last
and
week.
We did have Bill Roth. He explained what was all going on. And it's going to be, you know, the motion is going to carry the day for the Hokies that day. If you think East Carolina has a chance in heck in winning this game,
forget about it.
It's just the final score that's the only thing that matters. And now let's hear from Frank Beamer and his preparations for this game.
What I've stressed to our football team is, you know, it's big in a lot of ways, but our role is to make sure we prepare to play a great football game, because that's what it's going to take against what I think is a really good East Carolina football team, a team that's got a lot of good athletes, a team that's very, very well coached, a team that went to a bowl last year, a team that beat two teams from the ACC last year. So, you know, we need to make sure we're well prepared and ready to give great, great effort on Saturday. That's our role right now. That's what I've talked to our football team about.
Now, obviously, a lot of stuff going on with Virginia Tech. And the one thing that I found out in an email that the athletic department said to everyone showing up at Lane Stadium, don't boo East Carolina when they first come on the field, because East Carolina was one of the schools that supported Virginia Tech right out of the box after what happened.
And, you know, I don't see Virginia Tech fans ever doing something like that. They are some of the classiest fans in college football. And they're not going to sit there and blatantly boo an East Carolina team that just happens to be the opponent.
No, but on a 3rd and 9, they probably will.
Well, maybe so. But I still say they're some of the classiest fans in college football. I don't know why that would be an issue. But think about it. I mean, you talk about emotion in college football, and I always say emotion only takes you so far. Well, that Virginia Tech team was pretty darn talented. team I think could be the sleeper team in the BCS championship game. And I think this is a chance for Sean Glennon to really assert himself. He's got the coaching of Michael Kane, who's the ACC quarterback guru. He's developed some great quarterbacks in that league. Here's his chance to go up against an East Carolina team, and he's got the weapons to throw to. He's got a back in the backfield that's pretty good. This is Sean Glennon's game to prove to everybody what kind of quarterback he is.
Issue three.
Issue three would be the SEC against the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, the Southeastern Conference on a whole is probably the best conference in college football. Some of the people in the SEC got a little big-headed over the summer.
Big-headed?
That would be Les Miles of LSU. Challenging the Pac-10.
He just ran his pie hole.
So Tennessee is the lucky school that gets to go to Strawberry Canyon to take on Cal.
Gee, thanks.
And let's hear from first Philip Fulmer and then Jeff Tedford about how they're prepping for this one.
Are you playing Notre Dame or Miami or UCLA or Syracuse or, in this case, Cal? Last year, the Cal game really kicked our season off well because we did play really well, and it got us back on track. I think it, from a recruiting standpoint, it definitely helps. And then opening with a game like Cal, I think, makes the summer better. The guys all know that they've got to be ready to go from jump, and they're not going to have a chance to play themselves into shape or play themselves into being efficient.
Having to replace Damian Hughes and Marshawn Lynch were the two players of the year, offensively and defensively. Last year, we feel very comfortable, though, that Justin Forsett will take over at that tailback spot, and we feel like we're in good hands there. And on defense at corner, we have some young guys that are there competing for that spot, but they're talented and looking forward to camp to kind of answer some of those questions.
Now, this to me, I mean, I would say that Cal is motivated. They have revenge.
Are they motivated?
For the revenge after last year, because that pretty much blew up their whole season losing at the beginning of last year to Tennessee.
And let's face it, this is really Cal's big test right here. This is their season. I mean, if they lose this one, yeah, the air's out of the balloon. It'll take a few games to recover. But Cal needs to win this to have any kind of successful season that they intend to have. But they're motivated.
Oof.
I mean, and Tennessee can thank Les Miles for that.
Yeah, no joke. Now another rival of Tennessee's, Georgia, gets Oak State for their first home game of the year. And you're dealing in Oklahoma State with a top 10 rated offense last year in the Cowboys. And they have, you know, tall receivers. They're fast. They don't care. They'll put up points from anywhere, throw at any particular time, and twice on Sunday. So that's just how it's going to be in Athens on Saturday.
Yeah, and this is really Oklahoma State's chance. Not only to defeat an SEC team on the road, but it's also a chance to assert themselves that they're going to be a player in the Big 12 South. And Mike Gundy is building something there in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
And with the added funds that he'll be getting from Boone Pickens.
Yeah, no doubt.
As well as other prominent alumni that have all of a sudden shelled money into the Cowboy program.
Yeah.
This could be a program on the rise. It could be in the elite status soon. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction here that they're going to be partying at Eskimo Joe's in Stillwater on Saturday.
Wow.
Because I really think OSU is going to come in there and defeat Georgia between the hedges.
I would have gone with Oak State to cover, not necessarily win in Athens, but let's go ahead and hear from your principals, Richt and Gundy.
The only injury that ended a young man's season and career, unfortunately, was Antavius Coates, our safety, who was really never even had an opportunity to put his pads on and play between the hedges after being here a couple years, and tore his ACL. Actually, for the fourth time, he had two on each knee, and we've decided to apply for a medical DQ on him. But other than that, we've had a few bumps and bruises. We think just about everybody is going to be back full speed, ready to go for this ball game. So, you know, we're excited. Today and tomorrow we'll be in shorts, and Friday we'll walk through, and then we'll play.
Well, we have a plan here to try to win the Big 12 championship. And obviously you have to win the South first, and then you get into the championship game, which anybody can win at any time. And in order for us to do that, we think that we're going to have to play well late in the season on the road against very good opponents. So for the next, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, we've scheduled what people would term across the country a quality BCS opponent, which allows us every other year to play a very tough opponent on the road in preseason. And obviously Georgia is about as good as it gets in a very athletic opponent and playing in a tough environment.
So you say I'm being a little too bold there?
It wouldn't surprise me. Let's put it that way. I'm not as adventurous as you, but I will credit your boldness, and then if you lose then next week, Phil and I will be more than happy to slam you.
That's fine.
All right, sliding on to the SEC, and we have games aplenty, and 94 bazillion people will be in Gainesville, Florida for Urban Meyer's debut against Western Kentucky, I believe.
Right.
A 1AA, and I'm not going to even use the word powerhouse, a 1AA team. The game should be over by halftime, and I'd love to see Urban Meyer talk his way out of this one.
I was talking to Dave Neal the other day, who's doing the game for Lincoln Financial. He got a 9-page release from Western Kentucky.
Nine
pages.
Nine pages.
I guess they pretty much know how the year or even how this game is going to turn out.
Yeah. It's like we don't even bother putting out over 10 pages if we know we're going to get killed. It's like the 10-page rule from SIDs.
They may put 50 up. By the third quarter. How would you like to be a Western Kentucky team to play in the swamp?
Nice.
When you're way, way outmanned.
Yeah, no kidding. And Urban Meyer talks about his outmanning.
No, I love to do research. I love to study programs with great success. Obviously, Bill Belichick's a great friend, and I've used him quite a bit. Obviously, I got the best in the business, right, two office buildings away at Billy Donovan. But ours is such a unique situation. We've lost so many good players that momentum and repeat and all that stuff that everybody talks about, we're just trying to find out who can run to the football for 4 to 6 seconds. And we've simplified everything, so we're not that kind of team. We're just a young team with talent that's got to find ways. The momentum's gone. We just need to find out what kind of team we are this year.
All right, what's the I'm going to steal your paperwork here. I'm just looking at the rest of the grid. Troy and Arkansas. You want to go ahead and use your example for this one, or do you want to save it for App State and Michigan about how not to take a lesser team lightly?
Well, of course, Arkansas has got a history with that. The first time they ever played a 1AA school, of course, Troy's not a 1AA school, but was a Citadel 92, and it didn't work out so good for Jack Crow. Arkansas has got some issues in this game because Marcus Harrison has been suspended and won't play.
Yes.
Marcus Monk, their top receiver, is still injured and won't play. So you're losing your passing game right there.
I've got to go with Troy in the points on this one.
Okay, Jimmy the Greek.
That's just me. I mean, the name of the day, Omar Hagerbrook. I just like saying that.
I just hope Arkansas comes out of this game healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Because, obviously, Houston has done something wrong here because he can't catch a break.
Yeah.
You lose Marcus Monk. You lose Marcus Harrison to idiotic, just being an idiot.
Idiotics. To create a word.
And then all the crap he had to deal with in the summer with his brother and the whole cell phone thing. And
Yes, text messages are plenty.
I mean,
you
want to
hear
gosh,
from your boy?
Let's hear from Houston.
We've had a real good camp. Our guys are very anxious for the first ball game. We're very excited. We've had, especially the last few days, you could tell it's getting close. They're very anxious. And we're just real excited about having some good practices here these last few days as we get ready for a very good Troy team.
All right, let's run through the rest of the gauntlet here pretty quick. Richmond and Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's got a bunch of home games. Good for them. There's no line because Richmond is a 1AA squad. Vanderbilt should win that one easy.
Yes.
Ole Miss and Auburn have already played.
Louisiana Lafayette at South Carolina. South Carolina will be without starting quarterback Blake Mitchell.
Yep.
Still like the Gamecocks in that one.
Ole Miss and Memphis. Two teams really going sideways.
K-State and Auburn.
Right.
K-State may actually give them a game, but Auburn should win this one.
Yeah, and actually, we can hear from Coach T right now.
We try to get teams to play us, but, you hear all these people talk about the SEC teams won't play anybody. Heck, won't anybody play us? You know, we put out a top feelers all over the country the last 3 or 4 years, and we were fortunate that we got Kansas State, South Florida to play. Next year, we play West Virginia. Year after that, we play Clemson. And, we could play teams that maybe were of lesser caliber, and still our schedule would be tough enough to win a national championship in the end.
That takes care of the SEC. Any other binding thoughts in your brain before we move on to the big XII?
Let's go to the big XII.
Okay. Kent State and Iowa State already in the books. Interesting matchups kind of across the board. You know, Colorado State, which is always neat to watch and may not necessarily mean much of anything.
Well, they'll put points on the board, and Colorado State's always been the redhead stepchild to CU, so here's their chance to get a win over our favorite coach.
Yes.
Division I football!
Dan Hawkins.
And Nevada, Nebraska. That's an interesting one just because it's Nevada, who has been known when they've had everything going well in the sky to make some noise, but they're going to Lincoln, let's face it.
And that's probably one of the most toughest places to play
most toughest?
In America. Well, whatever. Nebraska is favored by almost 20 points.
Oh, please.
They should cover that fine.
Okay. Then you want to hear from Callahan?
Let's hear from Coach Callahan.
I think sometimes, you know, you set all these numbers and statistical goals, and when you don't reach them and win, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I hate to put – we never have put numbers up in front of our offense and challenged them from that regard. We just try to do the best we can within our situational football, and I think it normally takes care of itself because every game's different.
Anything else on that one before we move?
No, let's move on.
Okay, Missouri-Illinois.
Yeah, this is a border war.
The Zook. win one for the Zooker.
I think this game is being played in St. Louis as well.
Correct. At the Dome.
At the Dome.
That isn't sponsoring us, so we're not going to name it.
Okay. You know, this is really a game for Illinois. We always hear about their talent that Ron Zook is acquiring.
Yeah, Ron Zook is the kind of guy who's more than happy to tell you how talented his team is. You know, hey, I recruited great. I've got a bunch of JUCO guys. I mean, I swear, his mouth runs more about his talent pool than any other coach in the country.
But here's his chance at Illinois. He's not at a school that has the fan base that pressures as much as Florida's
was. Exactly.
Illinois is just hungry for any kind of winner, which I've never understood why the Illini can't win consistently.
Kurt Kittner, how about that?
Well, Lou Tepper.
Ron Turner.
Ron Turner. I mean, come on. I mean, you can recruit Chicago. There's some decent talent statewide. Mm-hmm. You can recruit St. Louis. Yet they just have never had a consistent winner in Champaign. This is really Zook's year that he's got to show some kind of progress.
Exactly.
He's got to at least get into a minor bowl. Missouri, on the other hand, they need to get off to a good start. I've been disappointed by the Tigers all my life because there's been years where you expected them to compete in the Big 8, Big 12, whatever league.
Big number.
Yeah, and they disappoint.
Of course.
So, and they're predicted to win the Big 12 North, so let's see what Gary Picknell has.
And also on the board, Baylor and TCU, I'm just going to blow past this one because it's Baylor.
Come on, it's an old Southwest Conference rivalry. Come on.
Well, the thing is that now I'm looking for Grant Taft and Ken Hatfield.
Grant Taft.
Thank you.
Yes, a blast from the past.
Thought you'd enjoy that one. All right, we talked about Oak State and Georgia. Next up, North Texas and Oklahoma. Once again, another game that should be over by early second quarter, close to the half.
Yeah.
North Texas is bad.
Yeah, they're very bad. Oklahoma is pretty good. Sam Bradford will make his debut as a starting quarterback for the Sooners. Let's hear from Coach Stoops.
I don't anticipate ever for any other reason outside of just playing to win, and so I don't speculate on what could be. If they play or if we, you know, as a staff get to as we're going through the week, feel we want to get a certain number of plays for somebody, then that'll be game plan, but it won't be because of any other reason.
Central Michigan and Kansas, Chippewa goes up against Mangino the Hut.
Yeah, I like KU in this one. In fact, KU with their soft schedule could probably go 6-0, 7-0.
Yeah, and then it all goes downhill
before they hit the meat of their schedule.
And then Arkansas State, the Indians, or actually, I guess I should say mascot in transition.
At Arkansas Jonesboro, State, taking on the Texas Longhorns. Texas will win that one comfortably, although Arkansas State does have a pretty decent secondary. And so it might give...
Oh, please.
Well, I'm not saying they're going to win, but...
What's the number?
Or maybe Texas is favored by 40.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say Arkansas State is going to win or cover the spread, but they may give...
Lime Swede's out, and
right.
So that'll be one less weapon for Colt McCoy.
Well, Colt McCoy might test him for some of the Big 12 secondaries.
Yeah, no kidding.
That way.
And you want to hear from Mr. Contract Extension?
Sure. Let's hear from Coach Brown.
Yeah, him.
We're excited, like everybody else in America, about the starting of college football season. We told the guys that obviously they'll start making some memories for a lifetime because the plays that they put on film, the passion that they put on film Saturday, will be there forever for their children to see and for everybody else to see.
All right. Mac Brown only needs to thank Nick Saban.
Again,
that should be his first phone call.
Yeah.
Thank you, Coach Saban.
Thank you, Coach Saban.
For my pay raise.
For my pay raise to 2017. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Let's see what else is on the board. K-State and Auburn we already went to. Montana State goes to Kyle Field. What is that?
Well,
it's a paycheck for the Bobcats is what it is, isn't it?
Well, Montana State can be a Big 12 team on the road. They beat Colorado last year at Folsom Field.
It's Division One football.
But overwhelmed, overrun, and just don't know what the hell happened to them when they get to College Station.
I'm kind of thinking that. That's just me. Now, you know, Texas A&M, this, you know, is this going to – they're always stuck in the South behind Oklahoma and Texas, and it's always
– Well, the Aggie fans are starting to get a little impatient with Dennis Franchione.
Yeah?
And
there's a surprise.
I think this is the year that A&M needs to break through. They had a little bit of a success last year when they beat Texas and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And now they need to capitalize on that success this year and challenge for the division title. Should we hear from Coach Fran?
Oh, why not?
I certainly don't take any of our early season games for granted, especially Fresno State. I mean, those guys would be a tough foe for anybody. I know a couple years ago they beat Kansas State in Manhattan, and they beat Wisconsin in Wisconsin, I believe. And so they're always tough. New Monroe has got some outstanding athletes back. You know, we're fortunate we have our first three games at home, and that's a good place to start right there.
And I think that gets rid of the big XII, doesn't it?
Well, we got one more old Southwest.
Oh, Texas Tech and SMU, right.
Texas Tech and SMU. And, of course, this is the 20th anniversary of the death penalty for the Mustangs.
Yes.
And Phil Bennett, the head coach there, is under a little pressure to get at least the 6 wins and getting the Mustangs back into a bowl they have not been to since the pre-death penalty era.
Yes. Forrest Gregg, but it was, who's the other coach?
Mike Caven was there.
Yeah.
Before the death penalty?
Tom Rossley.
Tom Rossley was there too.
Yes, I'm the man. Okay, that's it for the big XII. Now to the Pac-X, which used to be the Pac-8 in the long days.
The Pac-X,
The Pac-X, even though they don't do that kind of stuff. We'll start with USC, I guess, considering that they're the number one team in everybody's poll, including ours. I think
that just proves we're smart.
Yeah, because we've already talked about Tennessee and Cal. And, you know, Southern Cal, once again, you have how many running backs do they have? Like 104?
They got enough.
And Moody's now narrowed it down to a couple of places where he's not going to be attending. And I think now Florida's in the mix for Moody now when he decides to transfer.
Right. I think Florida is in the team that when he transfers, he wants to go there.
And they get Idaho, another 1AA Big Sky victim in week one.
Well, at least they're not playing him at the Kibbe Dome.
See, but I think that'd be cool, though.
Yeah, it would be like playing in my garage over here.
Yeah, well, but you've got more room in your garage than the Kibbe Dome.
Probably, and I've been to the Kibbe Dome.
All right, let's. You want to?
You think the Vandals will be vandalized then?
Oh, very much so. San Jose State and Arizona State. I think Dennis Erickson will get his first Duke as Arizona State head coach.
I do too.
I already talked about Tennessee and Cal, Arizona and BYU. We'll hear from Bronco Mendenhall later. So we'll just pass that game on to the dreaded others. Washington State and Wisconsin. We'll hear from Brett Bielema later. Say that 10 times fast. Houston and Oregon. Gee, that's just, Oregon leads that series 2-0. Last meeting was 2 years ago. They won by 14. But they don't have Kevin Cobb anymore.
No, and there's some high expectations in Eugene this year for the Ducks. And, you know, which team's going to show up?
Really?
I mean, last year they finished or started off great and then went to hell at the end of the
game. Went to hell.
And
which is true.
I think the other question is, what uniforms are the Ducks going to wear?
Oh, no.
Light bulb yellow?
Oof. Dead canary yellow?
Will they keep the green helmet?
The great gazoo work going on?
That's really, when you talk about Oregon, you got to figure out what they're going to wear.
Yeah, and we're all colorblind because of it. Utah and Oregon State and Washington and Syracuse are already in the can. So that leaves us with UCLA versus Jim Harbaugh and his pie hole.
And what a game for the Bruins to start off with.
Gee, thanks.
Yeah. And you get to take on the worst team in the Pac-10, and you get to play them at Stanford Stadium.
UCLA's got everybody back. They're going to get killed.
You're going to get killed. They're, let's say, talent lacking.
The talent deficient?
Whatever. Shall we hear from Cal Durrell?
Why not?
It's a huge advantage from a paper standpoint. It's when you have that number so big on both sides, it's a great place to be in on paper. It still comes down to, because it's on paper, there's an expectation. That's the side and the expectations that you all have that are placed on us as coaches and players. So can you handle that kind of pressure? Can our team, are we mature enough to handle that kind of information, knowing what the expectation is? And that's what this team did a tremendous job this summer. They understand that expectation. And now we're going to go out there and prove that we're ready to handle it.
All right, that's it for, wow, the first half of the show. It's already in the can. I'm always impressed to feel that we can fill all this much time.
Do we know so much about college football?
Of course we do. It's amazing what recycled paper can do. When we come back, it will be Big Ten.
Big Ten.
Big Ten, Big East, ACC.
ACC, and those dreaded others.
Oh, and your Portland State update. All that on the second half of the College Football Preview Week 1. Comes back after this on RST Sports Radio. Some of you will get your bottom-of-the-hour news. Others will get either Brian or a blatant promo when we come back.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right. The secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read just one? Hi, I'm Jeff Flam, founder of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your entire family. Kids do better in school, teens can score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo of IQ is only available for a limited time, so call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-771-8424. That's 1-800-771-8424. 1-800-771-8424.
The problem with computers? I don't have a computer, and email seems to be the only way people communicate anymore, especially my grandkids. Then I found out that I didn't need a computer to receive emails and photos. All I needed was my regular phone line and the new Presto service with the HP printing mailbox. It's so easy. Take it out of the box, plug it into the phone jack, and presto, you're connected. You don't have to do a thing. Emails and photos from family and friends print out automatically. It's so easy, you have to see it for yourself. Presto will even send you information, absolutely free. Just call 1-800-496-4930. Now you can receive emails and photos from your friends and family without having an expensive, hard-to-use computer. All you need is your regular phone line, so pick up the phone. Call right now for your free information. The number is 1-800-496-4930. 1-800-496-4930. That's 1-800-496-4930.
Count Pointer Count.
This is why you want to be a Division I football player.
The OSG.
Florida, Texas, Auburn, USC.
College Football Preview Show.
College football lives here.
Now here's Brian Eaves.
It's football time.
All right, guys, it's finally here. The two-a-days are now a distant memory. The preseason polls have been scrutinized and analyzed, and it's time to show up and lay it all on the line on the field. It's another season of college football, and the only thing that can make it even better is if we had real football weather here in the South. For me, it's not really a game day atmosphere unless you have on a sweatshirt. Let's just say from the home office in Raleigh, North Carolina, I haven't seen sweatshirt weather since March, and I certainly won't be wearing one on Saturday to the game either. Nevertheless, the games will go on despite my weather problem. So before I give you the best bets of the week, for information purposes only, a few quick observations as we begin 2007. The SEC, once again, will be the best conference in all of college football, and by far the deepest. I dare say anyone would argue that the fourth place team in the SEC could win almost any other conference race in America. It seems as if it's already a given to pencil in USC and LSU for the national championship, but I'm not willing to concede that just yet. There's a team in Morgantown, West Virginia that could have a lot to say about that before we're done with this college football season. And Virginia Tech, according to every magazine, TV show, and article I've read this year, has been unanimously picked to win the ACC. And for this one, I have my pencil just like the rest. All right, ye who have extra money to play with this weekend, we've got some blowouts in store this weekend, but will they be enough to cover the line? For a few of them, yes. We'll start out in South Bend, where Georgia Tech travels to take on the Fighting Irish. Notre Dame laying 2.5 points to Georgia Tech, and I think Georgia Tech may not only cover, but they could win it outright. It's not my underdog of the week, but it's close. I'll also lay the wood, Oklahoma -40 over North Texas, a huge line,
But this team is ready to forget about that Boise State game from last year, and they'll easily dispatch of North Texas. The live dog of the week comes from the Cowboys of Wyoming, +5 against Virginia. Al Groh's teams have been horrible away from home, and it won't change here, even against a weak Wyoming team. And I like the trends in this one, too. Wyoming 7-2 against the spread as a home dog. The Cavaliers 2-9 against the spread in their last 11 road games, and the altitude always gives the opposing team fits. Wyoming may win this one outright. But even as much as I like the Cowboys, my best bet of the week, West Virginia -23.5 over Western Michigan. The Mountaineers will have this one covered by halftime. Enjoy the games this weekend. Hope your team wins. Part two of the College Football Show with OSG starts right now.
Pointer Count College Football Preview Show on OSG Sports Radio and the World Internet Radio Network.
The stadium rocks and swings.
And welcome back to the OSG Sports Radio Count Pointer Count.
Sure, you want to throw college under that umbrella?
College football preview extravaganza, spectacular. Week one. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Hey, let's begin with the Big Ten now. Some of the games, we already talked about Illinois, Missouri.
Don't care.
Indiana State travels to Bloomington to take on the Hoosiers.
Yeah, go Sycamores.
Iowa takes on Northern Illinois. That game at Soldier Field in Chicago.
Last year, that would have been a decent game.
That would have been a decent game last year. UAB travels to Sparty Land to take on Michigan State.
Randy Galloway's going to have issues. Or Neil Calloway, sorry.
Him too.
Yeah.
Here's Bowling Green taking on Minnesota.
Keep going.
Here's an interesting matchup. Now, I had to look at it. Northeastern is at Northwestern.
The multi-directional matchup in the Big Ten. No, apparently it's going to be on the Big Ten Network for an audience of 12.
So somebody in Chicago will be able to see it. That's kind of cool.
Those in the studio will be able to see it, too.
Go Northeastern, go Northwestern. Okay. Purdue is at Toledo to take on the Rockets.
And I wonder if there's going to be any point shaving in that one.
Hopefully the team will shave.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the bigger matchups here. We'll start from the bottom, work our way to the top. Washington State, the Cougars travel to Madison to take on Wisconsin.
That's just a warm-up test. I really honestly think that I know that we talked in the preview about Washington State really needing to make an inroad. Mm-hmm. And the quiz was, who was the head coach?
Bill Dova.
Very good. So, you know, I think that the line is Wisconsin by 2 touchdowns, and mm-hmm. I don't think that Wazoo will get anywhere close to that.
I don't either. I think Wisconsin, when you talk about Wisconsin, you talk about huge lines, and when you talk about Washington State, it's all finesse. I really like Wisconsin by several touchdowns in this game. Moving on to the Big Ten.
Oh, you want to hear from your boy?
Oh, my bad.
Coach. Bielema,
Coach Bielema, go, yes, please.
Well, I think as a coach, you have to take every season for what it's worth. Obviously, last year, not so much from my standpoint of being a first-year head coach, but we knew we had all coaches that were, you know, 7 new coaches coming in, 9 new starters on offense, as well as some new faces on defense. This year, I returned every member of my staff, except for obviously Henry Mason. We returned 9 starters offensively and 7 defensively, so our punters and our kickers are back as well. So you have some older players, you're able to advance things a little bit more quickly.
Now continue.
Thank you very much. Let's move on to Penn State taking on FIU.
Oh, God.
It's not a question of Joe Pa's going to win this game. It's by how much?
I'm thinking at least 45, Mario Cristobal. He's got a rough row to hoe in that first game going to Happy Valley. Gee, thanks.
Okay, we move on.
We got to hear from Joe Pa.
Oh, gosh. What am I thinking?
We got to hear from Joe Pa.
Joe Pa, start talking.
We'll be a good competitive football team, not a great team. We're a little bit too young to to feel that we're ready to be a football team that can come into the league, and with the kind of people, the kind of teams that are going to be in the league this year, that to do a little bit better and just hold our own. But we have a good future.
Now continue.
I love to hear that voice.
Yeah, I don't know about a team this year. It's one of the things.
Before Jim Tressel took on Ohio State, he coached very successfully Youngstown State.
Yeah, but why? I mean, is this just a payday as a make-good deal with Youngstown State and the Penguins, honestly?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Penguin power.
Yeah, really. One versus one double A, and Brother Martin, who works in Dallas, I'm sure, is going to be pulling his hair out considering that he went to Youngstown and is a big OSU fan. So unless he's got split personality disorder, he's going to have issues.
Let's hear from Coach.
You know, they need to feel freedom to let it rip, you know, and like we always tell them, you know, let it happen. You know, we've coached you and we've been, you know, micromanaged you and this and that, but now, like, by the way, let it rip, you know, just make it happen.
And?
By the way, Mike Tomczak is doing the game for the Big Ten Network.
And an audience of 12.
Yeah, an audience of 12, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves us with the Michigan Wolverines hosting the App State Mountaineers.
Cite your example of one versus one double A.
Of course, App State, defending national champions in one double A.
I mean, Lloyd Carr's worried about this one.
Well, App State's got some talent, but when you've got only so many scholarships compared to what Michigan has,
yeah.
I mean, they're going to get worn down in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
and you're playing in the Big House. I think App State might cover the spread.
Yeah.
But
is there a number in this game?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if there was one.
If there was one, they'd cover.
Okay.
Let's hear from Lloyd Carr.
We came up short a year ago. We were a few plays away from playing in the national championship game. And I think there's certainly a motivation and a confidence here on the offensive side. I think, you know, the key for us will be replacing in our special teams Steve Breston, who was, arguably the best return guy we've had, and all the big plays he made in special teams. So the question will be how well our special teams play and how well our defense plays.
So I think Michigan escapes and learns their lesson with this one. Don't schedule the defending 1AA national champion.
I agree. They do escape in this one. Shall we move on?
Big E, I believe, is next. And we're not talking about Dale Earnhardt Jr.
No. We're talking about the Big East Conference.
And you're shuffling papers, which is always good. And
well, we can't memorize all this stuff, so we got to go by notes.
Washington and Syracuse Friday night. Syracuse is just bad.
They're bad. Washington, though, they're okay.
Syracuse Ty Willingham needs this one.
Well,
they both do, really.
They both do, and Syracuse is at home. I tend to lean towards Syracuse because, that's a program that's really been down the dumps, and they need something positive to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington's a good opponent to come into the Carrier Dome. Maybe they can get the student body excited again.
Not when you're named after a color.
UConn goes to the road to Wallace Wade Stadium to take on Duke.
Ooh, well, Duke is in the bottom five, that much I'll tell you.
Well, we'll just move on from that one.
I think so. That sounds good.
Western Michigan travels to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. Of course, West Virginia, big things are they're expecting to happen there. You got those talented skill players. West Virginia should win this one easily.
And let's hear from Coach Rodriguez.
I think our defense has played pretty well. I'm really excited about some of the things they've been doing defensively. We're doing a few different things scheme-wise. The base is the same, but a few different things scheme-wise to help the secondary. I think we've had a couple new players like Orion Mundy that came in from Michigan. It'll give us some depth and competition in the secondary, and I've been pretty pleased so far. Our guys are playing with a little chip on their shoulder defensively and know that we can play better than we did at the end of last year, and I'm anxious to see how we start with this weekend.
Moving on
to up the road from Pittsburgh, and they host Eastern Michigan.
Oh, that's
another team
a terrible
that's
ball
god awful. But then you got the Dave Wannstedt factor.
Ugh. Dave Wannstedt, got to give the guy a chance. Come on now. It's Dave Wannstedt. That's Pittsburgh. Come on.
That's a bad Beano Cook impression.
Of course it was.
And finally, Elon is at USF, Florida.
Well, not so finally. Yeah, but we got one more after that. Buffalo's at Rutgers on Thursday night, but they've already played, so what does
they've
it matter?
Played, yeah.
My bad. Okay, so yeah. Elon and USF, good for Jim Leavitt. Okay. That's what we got. Yeah. Congratulations. You're playing the Fighting Phoenix in your first game of the year at home. Way to go.
And we move on to the Atlantic Coast Conference.
All right, how many of those you want to blow through?
All right, let's blow through quite a few of them.
I think so.
First of all, Marshall.
Bunch of Saturday games.
Heads down to the Orange Bowl to take on the Miami Hurricanes.
And we've got a quarterback issue.
Kirby Freeman will be starting for the Miami Hurricanes because Kyle Wright is injured. And I think this is a good opportunity to see how this offense responds to Kirby Freeman.
No doubt.
Moving on to UConn and Duke.
Let's keep moving.
Do you give Duke a chance?
No.
Not against a UConn team that's...
horrible?
Yeah.
No. I figure Duke will find a way to screw it up.
And you got no trust in Ted Roof.
None. Hey, he's number one in the bottom five, which you'll hear about in a little bit.
Virginia travels to Laramie to take on the Wyoming Cowboys.
That's an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
I like this.
I do, too. You know, Virginia's going to get in that high altitude in Laramie. I like to see how that affects their players. I'll give Virginia a win by three.
Okay, that sounds good. That means it's a push elsewhere. I'll go with you.
Wake Forest is at Boston College.
That'll be the best in-house matchup in the conference this week.
And I'd be curious to see how Wake Forest plays, not only at Alumni Stadium, which surprisingly is is becoming one of the best atmospheres in the ACC, but backing up their championship year.
No doubt.
They're going to be the targeted team this year.
No doubt about that.
Villanova travels to College Park to take on the Terps.
Keep moving.
James Madison is Butch Davis's first opponent in North Carolina.
Continue.
And Tom O'Brien on his debut game at Raleigh takes on UCF. Florida.
How we doing in that one? I don't think George has a chance. Not
you
today.
Don't think so?
Not in that particular ball game, though.
Let's go back to George's old team.
Sure.
Well, both his old teams.
Yeah, no kidding.
Georgia Tech is at Notre Dame. A heck of a way to open up for the Yellow Jackets.
No doubt.
And I really get a sense that Georgia Tech might go into touchdown Jesus.
I agree. John Tenuta is going to play so many games with Charlie Weiss, it's not even going to be funny.
And shall we hear from Coach Gailey?
Yeah, I think, and Coach Weiss, about the whole quarterbacking thing, about how one has a quarterback and one denies that he has quarterbacks.
Anytime you play a team well, you have confidence. I don't think you can negate that fact. But at the same time, going up there and playing will be drastically different than playing down here. That's a very tough place to play. Their fans get into it. They make it a tough environment. So it'll be interesting to see how our young guys handle it. I know our older guys have been in some tough places and won before, so it won't be as big a deal to them. But how your young guys react to those scenarios is the key to being successful.
You want me to answer the question, or you want to answer the question? You answer the question for me, Dad.
You were answering the question.
The question is, we are repping three quarterbacks, and we are repping three quarterbacks. We are repping through three quarterbacks. You asked me if I know who the starting quarterback is. The answer to that question is yes. I'm repping all three quarterbacks with the first offense, not with the second offense, not with the third offense. All three of them are getting reps with the first group.
I really see a double-digit win here by Georgia Tech.
I'm not seeing double-digit. I think it'll be seven. I get six or seven, but not ten.
I just think they're poised. And then Monday night, it's Bowden Bowl.
Gee, thanks.
Like anyone cares anymore.
Tommy, you know, Jeff Bowden's fired. Tommy Bowden's job's in danger again, which means that he'll win, and his father will tank, and the first game for Jimbo Fisher will be a mess. So I'm not looking forward to watching.
Any prediction?
Clemson will win because Tommy Bowden's job's in danger. That's just me. You want to hear from Bobby?
Let's hear from Bobby.
Okay.
I wouldn't expect too much. You know, there's been so much publicity about the new offensive staff, but it's not likely you're going to go out there and run up and down the field, you know. I expect to struggle, and I just got to hope they're struggling while we are, and then hope that you finally can get something going and become an offense.
And now that leaves us with the dreaded others.
Yes.
And we'll start in the WAC.
Why not?
Where the University of Hawaii
will
open the season. And, of course, big things are expected of the Warriors this year.
I'm going to eat a little bit. Keep talking.
Why don't you eat some of your Chinese over there?
Okay.
They host Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
And the lovely...
Thanks from Greeley. I just like saying Greeley.
Hawaii should win that one rather easily, don't you think?
I'm thinking it's going to be another Nintendo year for Colt Brennan.
Yeah, what kind of yardage do you think Colt Brennan can put up against a Northern Colorado defense?
He'll probably be 450, and then they'll pull him.
Let's hear from June Jones, see what he thinks.
We got a lot of returning
offense. We have an offensive line that needs to, you know, mature and get going, and they're only going to do that in games. But, you know, I feel like we've had a good camp, and we're just tightening everything up for our first game. You just line up and play whoever, you know, lines up shows. When Michigan State canceled off the schedule, you know, we were looking for games, and Northern Colorado wanted to play, so that's how they're there.
And then the other spotlight game in our dreaded others.
I was going to say, is there any other games in the WAC that matter?
Not really.
Boise State already played.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Mountain West, where we're looking at the BYU Cougars. They're hosting the Arizona Wildcats.
You just like saying Bronco Mendenhall.
Well, Bronco Mendenhall is one of the up-and-coming coaches in the nation. This is really a chance for BYU not only to beat a Pac-10 team, but you know, to get off to a good start in the season. The big things are expected to happen for the Cougars. Well, let's hear from Bronco Mendenhall.
Where we stand defensively, we lost our starting nose tackle in our first scrimmage of fall camp, and that was probably the most significant loss in terms of depth and ready replacements. Then we lost Dustin Gabriel, who's been our starting strong safety the past number of years. He actually had an existing injury from last fall that we thought we'd be able to manage and play. He would be managed to play with. That wasn't the case. And so then his backup, David Tafuna, was hurt in practice. And so it wasn't two starters. It was basically two starters at the same position, I guess you could say.
Not a whole lot of other good matchups in this league. New Mexico, UTEP, Utah, and UNLV have already played.
It just sounds kind of painful.
Exactly.
All right.
South Carolina State goes to Air Force.
Wow.
The game will be on the Mountain Network. Well, no one can watch.
As many as the Big Ten Network.
And
Sunbelt.
Sunbelt.
Arkansas and Troy. But we've already talked about that one, haven't we?
We've talked about that one.
Yeah.
Talked about North Texas and Oklahoma. We've mm-hmm. talked about Arkansas State and Texas.
Okay, so pretty much lambs to the slaughter.
FIU, Penn State, mm-hmm. Tennessee, Florida Atlantic.
Is OSG contributor Paul Crane doing a game this week?
You know what? I don't know. He might be doing a game this week for Cox Cable, but it might be a 1AA game. It might be Nicholls State.
Okay. Well, speaking of 1AA.
Portland State.
Yeah.
They opened the season down in Lake Charles, taking on McNeese State. Of course, a few weeks back, we talked to the PSU beat writer for the Oregonian, Jim Beseda, about what's going on with the Portland State Vikings.
This was the first time, too, in recent years that the spring game had been held at PG Park, which is the Vikings' home stadium in downtown Portland. And, you know, all signs point toward, I mean, the possibility of them doubling what they drew in attendance a year ago, and I think they drew close to 6,000 or 7,000 last season. So, you know, that, and even 14,000, I mean, at this level, that's pretty remarkable.
So Jerry Glanville makes his debut down in the Delta
mm-hmm.
as Portland State. The series is tied at 1. Portland State has a 7-3 advantage over Southland Conference schools.
Right.
Okay, we've gone down the entire list of BCS conferences and the dreaded others.
Do you want to tell people where to go to get more Portland State stuff?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
Go visit govikes.com.
V-I-K-S.
V-I-K-S. Check out all the Portland State. And, of course, you can get your Portland State gear. And yesterday is a blatant plug because mm-hmm. we would love to wear some Portland State gear when we're taping the show. Yeah, exactly. Got to be black to represent Coach Glanville.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we got the Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen and the Low Five.
And the Low Five coming up.
Yeah,
you'll
like
hear
right
from
now.
John Nelson yeah. and Phil Cantor.
Strange what happens through audio editing.
And now that the official team of OSG has been christened, Portland State and everything Portland State, go to www.govikes.com for
we
everything.
We love Jerry Glanville.
Yes, everything Portland State. Follow them this year as much as we will. Which leads us to what we refer to as the caboose. The Dirty Dozen, and I guess you can spell it D-U-R-R-T-Y, the Dirty Dozen.
Or the D-T-D Dozen?
Yes, the D-T-D Dozen and the bottom five and anything in the college stink that has set us forward for this particular week.
Or in some cases, backwards.
Yes. All right, here is the composite poll for this particular week for the Dirty Dozen. It is USC, LSU, Texas, and West Virginia, your top four. The only reason that West Virginia is fourth and not third is because Corey Ray omitted them from his poll.
Did he forget to put them in there?
That's
or
not
was
relevant.
That deliberate?
I don't know. We can probably answer that question when we get to his bottom five because he was part of the dreaded others where that was concerned. Virginia Tech is at 5. Florida is 6. Michigan 7. Michigan was omitted from a poll.
I thought about it for a minute.
And Wisconsin is 8. Oklahoma 9. Louisville is 10th. And that makes Ohio State 11 because they were omitted from a poll. And Cal is 12th. Dreaded others going to, or others receiving votes, I guess we should say. Auburn, TCU, Georgia, Hawaii, Florida State, Penn State, and Georgia Tech. So that's the rundown. And some of you have decided, especially pollster Adam Dansky from KCBS-TV, he actually had some rather colorful things to say. The reason he had USC third is because he still hates Pete Carroll from what happened with the New York Jets.
Yeah, two different things, apples and oranges, yin and yang, opposite ends of the spectrum, north and south pole, whatever you want to call it.
And looking at your responses, LSU, you had third only because they have a bitch of a schedule.
Yeah, I mean, Florida, Alabama, the big test for them is going to be playing Alabama in Alabama. That is going to be a monster game in November.
Virginia Tech, the only good team in the SEC. That's why you had them
no,
four.
No, the only good team in the ACC.
Or ACC, yeah, thank you. Florida, I was staring at Florida. Florida, 5, Wisconsin, 6. You were kind of flip-floppy on those. Texas, you had all the way down to 7. Louisville, you had at 8. Oklahoma, 9. Michigan, overrated. Georgia Tech, 11. And Hawaii at 12. And Hawaii got a lot of 12s this week.
Yeah, I think they're going to get some love at least until they start playing and we see whether they're an actual good team or not. I mean, they're certainly getting a lot of hype at this point, but as you and I both know, preseason hype doesn't mean a damn thing.
That's why they call it preseason hype.
And preseason polling also doesn't mean a damn thing, except it counts a little bit too heavily toward the end of the season.
Well, it just means more here. And the bottom five, which you can call any number of different things, bottom feeders, bottom five, what have you, is kind of where we decided to just
the
crap, the dregs.
The liverwurst of the knockwurst.
The stuff at the bottom of the bowl or whatever you want to call it, bottom of the barrel. We'll go from 5 to 1 here. 5 was Florida International. Mario Cristobal, new coach, can't help them at all.
Congratulations.
Temple at number 4.
Yes.
Number 3, Buffalo. And I guess the only reason Buffalo was 3rd and not 4th
is
because they got more votes.
Yeah, my question is, are they there in reputation or are they in actual skill? I understood they improved a little bit last year.
Well, and I think also the fact that they beat Temple probably should have had them at 4 instead of 3, but we digress. Army at number 2 and your number 1 worst team of the bunch.
Army? Whoa, Army number 2?
Uh-huh, they got 2 4s and a 2.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
And Duke is your worst of the worst. And Ted Roof, the head coach of the Blue Devils, just decided to keep on going and not pay attention to a word we had to say.
Our talent level is improving. And as far as our goal for the season, right now we're in a one-game season, is to win the game this season, which is the UConn season.
Now, the rest of the votes in the dreaded others category, others receiving votes, Utah State, Slippery Rock, which was one of Corey Ray's.
Because he just wanted to say Slippery Rock?
Yes, and the other one that was Corey Ray's was Johnson C. Smith.
Real? Did they play Division I football?
No, but that didn't stop him from putting them down.
I don't know if that makes him eligible there.
Well, like I said, they were others receiving votes. If they'd gotten into the top 5, then it would have been an issue.
Did Corey Ray go left field on us just because it was the beginning of the season?
Probably. Once again, remember, he's the one that omitted West Virginia.
Exactly.
Let's see. We have Prairie View getting a vote, and that came in from Brother Dansky again. Florida Atlantic got a vote, as did Kansas State from Brother Dansky. Eastern Michigan, Kent, Tulane got a vote, which was once again from Brother Dansky. And Vanderbilt in Indiana. And Notre Dame and Stanford from you.
Lord knows what possessed him to put Vanderbilt in that list. Vanderbilt's certainly not a team that's going to go out and win the national championship or be in a BCS bowl game. Mm-hmm. But they're not that bad.
No, they're not that bad.
You and I both know that. That's a 5 or 6 win team.
True. And I'm just going to go through your bottom feeders as we toss it to Blakeney for the end of the show. 5, Notre Dame. You hate Notre Dame. Call it the Mark Harmon Memorial pick. 4 is Temple because for the life of me, I can't figure out why they play football. FIU. Stanford, same goes for Jim Harbaugh. And God, it must suck to be Ted Roof. That's it for this week's show. Blakeney.
The roof is on fire.
It burned out. Be sure to catch us in 167 hours and a little bit more than that to get the next round of how things are going to fall for your favorite teams, because we're the ones that follow them just as closely as you, if not more. For CSTV and ACC Nation helping us out and everyone else that helped us out along the way, I am John Nelson. We'll be back again next week for another look at the OSG College Football Preview, our style. Blakeney, take us home.
Thanks for listening to Count Pointer Count. Today's show was brought to you by OnlineSportsGuys.com, Distant Replays, the World Internet Radio Network, Podomatic, Liberated Syndication, and ICD Soft. For more information about Count Pointer Count, please visit the show's website at pointercount.podomatic.com or check out OSG at www.OnlineSportsGuys.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. See you next week on Count Pointer Count.